In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So I thought I would start off this reflection by just a little explanation of who I am. I saved it from the long weekend so that we'd have it more time here at this particular service. So with that in mind, here is, this is my story, this is my song. Well, modified. Anyway, the bottom line is, all right. I was born, like I mentioned last week, when TVs had a manual clicker and you had to turn the channel, and there was two channels, A and B, and it also had a thing called a VHF. Does anybody remember that dial on your TV, a VHF? It never worked, but it was a nice dial to have. You could spin it around. But anyway, that's when I was born. And then my dad, who was also an Anglican priest, moved us from Winnipeg to Edmonton. I think it's called Inside Voice. Inside Voice. Anyway, with that in mind, so my dad had the parish of St. Paul's on Stony Plain Road. So I went to school there in my elementary years, and it was a 10-mile hike one way, both ways uphill. And in the winter, I had to carry the horse on my back so that the feet never got cold. And it was a miserable, I went to school there, but none of that other stuff is real. Then we moved down here to Calgary. And I went to the wonderful Viscount Bennett for junior high and high school. You've driven by it on, yeah. Well, I went there when it was still up and running. So went off to University of Calgary to do a music degree when I finished up there. And then I got involved with the Naval Reserve. Well, it was Sea Cadets and Naval Reserve. And in 1976, at the Olympics in Kingston, I met my wife, who also plays French horn, and it took me 9 years to figure out I needed to marry her, but that's another story altogether. But we met in 76, and we just finished celebrating our 40th wedding anniversary in August. So, yes. So we're blessed, and we have lots of things happening in our lives. We have our eldest daughter and son-in-law and two grandkids live in Prince George. Our other daughter and son-in-law and one grandkid live in Chestermere, just where we live as well. And my son and his partner live in Edmonton. He's with the Army. He just couldn't figure out the Navy side of things. Anyway, that's inside voice, inside voice. So with that in mind, then, when I came back here after seminary in Toronto and was ordained here by Bishop Barry Curtis in 1984. And at that point, I became a deacon assistant at St. Gabriel's on 4th Street, which lo and behold, Scott, wherever he is, he's probably helping out with the barbecue, his family went there. Oh, there! His family went there as well. So it came as quite a shock that we have that connection. And then in 86 or 85, I was priested. And then in 86, on a Friday afternoon, got a phone call from the military saying, would you like to become a military chaplain? And without asking Mary Lynn, I said yes. I said it was going to be a short time. It was only 29 years. We could have stayed longer. So, but one thing you need to know about the chaplaincy, the military chaplaincy, is it's called a purple trade, meaning that you don't just serve in one element, you serve in all the elements. So I started off, we moved everything kit and boodle to Victoria, and there I did the Navy side of things in the sense of going to sea and looking after the chapel. And then we were posted to Germany for 4 years to a place called Lahr, where I did my army time. I was part of the engineers and the tank regiments. And then they posted me back to Halifax. So we lifted up everything and went to Halifax. And then Halifax to Kingston, Kingston to Winnipeg, Winnipeg to Ottawa, Ottawa to Edmonton, Edmonton back to Ottawa, and I retired in Ottawa. Yeah. It was a whirlwind 29 years. So we finished up there in 2014 in Ottawa, and the Bishop of Ottawa phoned up and said, hey, would you help out? And I said, sure, why not? So I helped out in a five-point parish just outside of Ottawa, and then another parish, a more rural parish, for another 2 or 3 years until 2021. And that's when Mary Lynn, she retired, and we moved to Chestermere. Now, what's exciting about moving to Chestermere, not only being closer to your family, but have you ever bought a house online? We did. Yeah, we did. It was grand. You know, you had the realtor with his FaceTime, and he walked through, and he showed you the place, and you said no or yes, and you just said yeah. And then we put a deposit on our home, and the first time we saw it was when we moved here. And it was a great house. It's close to family, it's everything we need, and it's a blessing. And so then I did a year at Christ Church as an intern there, as an assistant, and then I retired for the third time. And then the bishop phoned up and said, would you consider coming out of retirement? Oh, of course, of course. Why not? I'll come out of retirement. I'm looking for that pin that says, retired five times. Yeah, I'm at four now. I'm at four, so I'm happy with that. And so with that retirement pin, anyway, bottom line is, I came here and I'm excited to be a part of your lives and your spiritual journey and those who are joining us online. And I'm sure we'll have a lot of fun in the future. At Parish Council, there's just so many things that are happening around our church and our parish. It's exciting to be a part of that, and I'm excited to be here with that. So that's my story. And I guess I should talk about the gospel a bit. Enough about me. You know, one day I'm going to be able to sit down with the guy who designs the Common Lectionary, the Revised Common Lectionary, and just ask him, what do you think happens in September? You know, what do you think happens? Shouldn't you have, like, gospel passages that are exciting? You know, the feeding of the 5,000 or miracles or all these kind of things with Christ, you know, to get people excited. Well, last week, get behind me, Satan. That's really, yeah. And this week, how to deal with conflict. Yeah. Those are really stirrers, aren't they? But the interesting thing is, when I was looking at this gospel passage, the number of people that say, well, you know, this really shouldn't be attributed to Jesus at all. He wouldn't say any of the things that were in that gospel passage about conflict. On the surface, it makes perfect sense, doesn't it? It says, okay, if you have an issue with somebody, speak to them one-on-one. And if that doesn't work, then get two or three people together and speak to the person again. And if still that doesn't work, bring the person to church and sit them down and the whole congregation will talk to them. And if that doesn't work, then treat them as a Gentile or tax collector. Wait a second here. Didn't Jesus kind of really like Gentiles and tax collectors? Wasn't that one of the beefs that the Sadducees and all those people had against Jesus, was the fact that he ate with sinners, he ate with Gentiles, he ate with tax collectors? So where is this all coming from? You know, why are we having that? Well, there's a lot of different viewpoints, and some are just saying, well, the church needed to have direction, so they made direction. They made it very straightforward. And to make it more powerful, they contributed it to Jesus. But there's so many things in there that Jesus would never have agreed to in the first place. One I mentioned is the Gentiles and the tax collectors. He reached out to those people. He never pushed them away. And he was never legalistic. He never said, this is what you got to do first, this is what you got to do next. No. He said to, you know, bring the little children to me. Sit them down, we'll chat, we'll talk. He was never one to say, well, on Tuesdays and Thursdays they can be here, on Monday, Wednesday, Friday they'll go there. No, he was never legalistic. And so you have all these things. So what's the takeaway that we should have from just simply, well, we'll just ignore this passage and say, okay, we read it because it's the 15th Sunday after Pentecost? No, there's still a takeaway here. The takeaway is that the very first thing that the passage says, if you have a problem with somebody or conflict with somebody, speak to them. Don't let it fester. That's what Jesus was all about, wasn't he? He spoke to people. He never let anything get out of hand. even to the point where, you know, he says to Peter, look it, we got to chat, we got to talk. Or when he talks to the, you know, other people within the Bible, he's always there to chat. They may have issues with him, but he's always there to chat. And I think that's the takeaway from today's gospel. Today's gospel may not really be contributing or contributed to Jesus actually saying, but what it does say to us is, listen, look what Jesus did behind the scenes. He was for the tax collector. He was for the Gentile. He was always there to talk to people. And lastly, and the most one of the most important things is, he said, never give up on people. And that's what this chapter says. Hey, if the person comes into the church and they still doesn't get it, just push them away. No, no. Jesus says, look, stay put. Stay with us. We'll get it. We'll talk to you. We'll understand. And so I'd ask you to think about that this week. Think about conflicts that you might have had in your lives and how important it is to chat one-on-one with people. Don't let it get out of hand. And think of Jesus saying, look, the more we talk, the more we'll understand. And the more we understand, the more we'll follow Christ. Amen.